Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is Hagiga daf Tes Vav. We find ourselves on daf Yudalet Amud Aleph, and we are right now in the Pesukim in Yeshayahu, and rebuke and reprimand to the Jewish people. And it took a while for Yeshayahu to get his message across, and that's what we're in the middle of discussing. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf belongs to the Lupin Zaltzman. Yudalamid Aleph, let's go back to the beginning of the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, where the Gemara quotes exactly how he reprimands the Jewish people and how long does it take in order for him to get his message across. So, Shmona Esrei Klolos, my Ninhu. So there were 18 klolos that were given. So Kiyasa Rav Dimi, let's go back a little bit. Okay, so we're halfway down in Yudalamid Aleph. We're starting with the words Kiyasa Rav Dimi. It's the last three words, the last four words in the line. Three lines before the lines really get wide. And the Gemara begins as follows. Gastrof Dima Shmon Esrei Klolos Kila Yishayahu Es Yisrael. So he gave 18 curses to the Jewish people, Yishayahu, Velonis Karadata Asham Alehem HaMikra Hazeh. And finally, in the third paragraph of Yishayahu, Sefer Yishayahu, so it culminated with the following. Yiravu Anar B'Zakeim V'Hanikla B'Nechbad. The young is going to take over the old, and that which is light, people who don't have any honor and dignity, are going to subject those who do have honor and dignity. So Shmona Esrei Klolos my Nina Dichziv, and the Gemara says, and what are the 18 clauses that Yeshayahu actually gave? So again, we're going to do like we did yesterday. We're just going to read the pasuk quickly, because the Gemara is going to explain each one step by step. Kadosh Baruch Hu removes from Yerushalayim and Yehuda Mashe Mashena Kol Mishan Lechem V'Kol Mishan Mayim Gibor V'Ish V'Chama Shofei V'Navi V'Kosim V'Zakein Sar Chamishim V'Nesor Panim V'Yoetz V'Chacham Chareshim V'Navon Lachash V'Nasati Narim Sareim V'Tahalim Yim Shluvam. Period. At Kan Divrei HaPasuk, that's the end of the Pasuk, and the Gemara now is going to explain, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove all the following people, and they are. So we're going to go step by step. Number one, Mashein. Elo Bala Mikra, the word Mashein is a reference to those people who know Chumash. Mashein Elo Bala Mishnah. And the Mashina is a reference to those who know Mishnah. Kigon Rav Yehuda ben Tema, the Chave Rav. So the Gemara points to Rav Yehuda ben Tema together with his colleagues who were experts on Mishnah. Pligabara Papa Rabban, Chalam HaShesh Meos Sidre Mishnah, the Chalam HaSheva Meos Sidre Mishnah. They either had 600 or 700 sets of Mishnayos, orders of Mishnayos. As we pointed out yesterday, I know this is review from yesterday, but that's good. We reviewed from yesterday that we have six Siddharma of Mishnah, right? And of which in the Daf Yomi, we learned four of the six. So, right, our number that we struggle with is six. They had 600 or maybe even 700, obviously a much greater amount, right? We're dealing with 1% of what was. Komashin lechem elu balei tamad. Then now we continue in the pasuk in Yeshayahu up to the Mashin. That's the balei Mashin lechem. So that's a reference to Talmud Shenem lechulich mo belachmi v'shasu beyain masachti. Okay, so it's a reference to those people who need Talmud. Talmud is a sustenance, just like bread is a sustenance, and so it's a reference to those who study Talmud. Chol Mashin mayim elu balei agada. The Mashin mayim is referring to those people who study agadata. And that's compared to water. It's moshech. It draws the heart just like water. When water draws, water is drawn, water runs. So, Agadata, everyone loves Agadata. Gibor is a Baal Shmos. Gibor is a reference to Baal Shmos. Quoted the Rashi yesterday, quoted the Rashi again today. Rashi says that the Baal Shmos are those people who paskin halacha. Right? Rashi says, Rashi writes, Sheshama halachos psukos me rabosav ushkuros befiv. Someone who's really familiar and fluent with all the halachos. Again, now going back to the Sefer Yeshayahu, that when we say the Ish Melchama, we're referring to somebody who knows how to have discourses in Torah and knows how to fight the fight of Torah. Okay. And Shofet Zudayan Shadan Din Emes Lamito. The Shofet is a judge, but a judge who knows how to give an honest judgment. And Navi Kamashmo. Navi doesn't need any explanation. A Navi is a prophet. Kosim ze melech. Kosim is a reference to a king. Well, I kind of hope so, because the other possibility of a kosim is that it's somebody who engages in divination. And the whole point of the pasuk in Yeshayahu is we're taking all these good people away. So obviously kosim can't be referring to somebody who's divining. So the Gemara says kosim in this context is referring to a king. Shenemar kosim asif ze melech. Zaken to Shavar Li Yeshiva. Zaken is somebody who's fit to be in yeshiva, meaning he's a person who has enough life experience, enough learning experience, where, okay, he belongs in yeshiva. Sar Chamishim Al Tikrit Sar Chamishim Al Asar Chumashim Zeh Shiyodeh Lisa Vlitem Bechamisha Chumshe Torah. Sar Chamishim is somebody who knows how to had engaged in discourse in the five Chumashim of the Torah. Davar Echir Sar Chamishim Kedir Rabbi Abau Damer Rabbi Abau Mikan Shein Ma'amidah Meturgaman Al Sibor Pachos Mechamishim Shana. Or another way to understand it is that if you want to make a Meturgaman, now Meturgaman usually is somebody who translates the Torah. It's an important position, obviously, but it's not a political position. It's not a leadership position. So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes Kidrabi Abo La'amid Lafan of Meturgaman Lidrosh Barabim. So public drashas. In other words, he's the one who is basically giving the public drasha, so he should be minimally 50 years of age. Okay. And so panim zishin nosim panim lidoro ba'avuro. And finally, the last person mentioned, Sefer Yeshayahu, in that pasuk in the third perek, is in the Sopanim. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows favor because of him, because of this one particular individual. L'malo kigon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. An example of that would be Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rashi quotes the Gemara. It's in the Rashi, it says Tanis, but it's Brachos, correct on the side of the Rashi, it's Brachos Yudzayin. Anyway, but Chanina ben Dosa, remember, he didn't eat much over the course of the weekend, and Akash Baruch Hu, the Gemara says that they have a tradition that Akash Baruch Hu says that the world is sustained based on Chanina ben Dosa. Or Kagon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Lamata Kagon Rabbi Abao ben Kesar. Or if you want to give another example, Rabbi Abao ben Kesar, the Gemara says Lamata, meaning that he does not give in any divine favor, but he's given political favor, meaning that the current political power, assuming that's the Romans, looked at him, at Rabbi Abba Makesa, and says, you know what? We're going to show the Jews favor because of a person just like him. Yo'etz, we're back to the Pasuk Yeshayahu, Shiyodeh la'aber shanim, uluk v'chadashim. The Yo'etz is a reference to somebody who knows how to intercalate, how to work the calendar. V'chacham zutamin ha'machkim es rabosav. A chacham is somebody who is a tamin chacham, but he also sharpens his Rebbe. He's able to sit in Shiran, ask the Rebbe penetrating questions, and is able to improve his Rebbe's shir. Charashim, b'shasha p'tzech, b'divrei Torah kol na'asim kecharashim. And the cheresh, usually a reference to a deaf mute, but in this case, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking somebody good away, so that's a reference to somebody who, when he opens his mouth, nobody else opens their mouth. Right? The term used is a charashim. Navon ze ameven davar mitoch davar. Navon, somebody has insight, is able to extract one point from another point. And a lachash is somebody who is able to convey Torah. People who are minu arim, shaken off from mitzvos, meaning people who don't have a lot of mitzvos, they're the ones who are going to take over. And they're going to be taken over by foxes. The fox is a term that the Gemara uses often, describing somebody who does not have significance, who does not have importance. So Amar Rav, we have in our Gemara, Rav Papa. In another gear, it's Rav Acha. Amar Rav Acha by Yaakov, Tale b'nei Tale. Not just foxes, but foxes, sons of foxes. Meaning people who really, not only do have no business being leaders of the Jewish community, but also coming from no nobility. It's okay. Those are the people that are going to take over. So the Gemara says, and finally, Yeshayahu only was able to communicate his message, despite the fact that he gave 18 klalos, 18 different people who are going to be taken away from the Jewish people. But finally, and only when he got to the last point, did he only have everyone's attention, and that was Yiravu Anar Bezakein. The young is going to take over the old. So Eilu B'nei Adam, we skip the parentheses. Eilu B'nei Adam Shem Menurim and Amitzvos Yiravu B'mishim Amula B'mitzvos. Kerimon, somebody who has no mitzvos is going to take over the people who have mitzvos. V'anikla B'nechbad, next part of the pasuk. Yavo Misha Chamuros Domos Alav Kekalos. V'yaravu B'mishim Kalos Domos Alav Kechamuros. And somebody who's Isurich, the Isurim really mean nothing to him, meaning an Isur which is Chamor, a significant Isur, to him is like a light Isser. Right, Chilul Shabbos, right, and he compares it to something which is on a much lower scale. To him, it's all fine. It's not a big deal. And he's going to be handed over to somebody who is kalus is nase kechamuros, that even the quote-unquote lighter Yisurim are to him as serious as the greater Yisurim. So again, the basic idea is that the people who are going to take over are people who really have no business taking over. The Gemara says there's one redeeming quality of the Jewish people during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is at least there were Bali Amana. Bali Amana is translated as people with faith, but in this context it means people at least were honest. Meaning, not Shomer Torah, not Shomer Mitzvos, right? And the list can go on and on, but at least they had the quality of being honest. Shenemar. And the Gemara is going to give an example of how even at this juncture of Jewish history where the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed and Yeshayahu was giving Moser and they really were not, they were not behaving, but Shenemar. Ki yispos ish be'achiv beis aviv, simla lach katzin tiyalanu dvarim, tiyalanu. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk from the third parak of Yeshayahu. A man grabs his fellow, and simla lach katzin tiyalanu. See, you're covered up, you should be our leader. What does that mean? The Gemara explains. Dvarim shebeni adam is katzin, ki simla yeshtam tachas yadech. Right, you are covered, and over here doesn't mean physically covered, but it means you know Torah. I don't know Torah, you do know Torah. You should be the one telling us what to do. Or at least, you should be in charge. I'm sure we're not going to listen, but you should be in charge. So machshela is a reference to Torah. Torah, you stumble. Okay, Torah is not easy. You learn it the first time, you learn it the second time. You stumble over it a couple of times, but ultimately, you're going to get it. So here the machshel, it's interesting. Usually michshel obviously is meant in a very pejorative fashion, meaning it's a stumbling block, right? And a bright person is going to lose his way. Here it's used in a positive sense that the people who learn Torah, know Torah, they stumbled over it a couple of times, but then they got it. So tachas yadech. Yista b'yamahu le'mor lo yech choveshu v'vesi ein lechem ve'ein simla. Lo sisi mina katzin. Again, same parak in Yeshayahu. The conversation that took place on that day is, I lo yechovesh, right? Chovesh in modern Hebrew is a medic, but lo yechovesh, I'm not going to be, I never quarantined myself. Meaning, I never learned in yeshiva, ubebesi ein lechem, I have no bread, and ein simlan, I have nothing to cover myself up. Lo sisi mina katzin. Don't make me the leader, and the Gemara goes on to explain. So the word Yisa in this context is the language of making a shvua. Okay, so again, the Gemara now is just simply explaining the pasuk Yeshayahu. I never studied yeshiva. These are allusions to I never studied Chumash, I never studied Mishnah. So we are extolling at least some praise to the generation of the Chorban Bayis Rishon, and that is that at least they were honest. Okay, we're not observant, we're not Torah knowledgeable, but at least they were honest. So the Gemara says, why are we making such a big deal about this? This is the kind of thing where you have to be honest. So, unlike a resume where you could pad your resume and, you know, hopefully you won't get caught. But okay, but in other words, but over here the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, what else are they supposed to say? Are they really supposed to say, no, I really am knowledgeable, I really do know Torah? Okay, let me hear. At least a vort? Can you say over a Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "What are they? They're going to be honest. They have no choice but to be honest on such a topic." So, Avalon Lamemar, Gamar V'Shachach. So then, what they could say is Gamar V'Shachach. Well, yeah, at one point in time we knew, but we've forgotten, right? The beginning of Yoredeya. You know, when you shech an animal, you have to do Hilchos Shechita. I know that makes sense, right? In other words, you have to be a bucky. You have to be proficient in the laws of Shechita. Let's say somebody shechs an animal. And you went over to him afterwards and you say, okay, can you tell me anything about Hilchos Shechita? He says, no. I understand, you're the town shochet. You don't know anything? He's like, nah. And then he makes the argument, you know, at one point I knew it, but I forgot it. So there's a big discussion at the beginning of Yerodea, right in the beginning of in Siman Aleph, there's a big discussion. To what extent that person has credibility? Right? Can we believe that person when he says, at one point I knew it, and yes, I forgot it. Now, of course, meaning the nature of the human being is that we forget things. It's true, we do forget. So there's a big discussion over there in terms of what kind of credibility they have. So the Gemara says, basically the same point over here. Meaning, can they make the argument, yeah, we knew Torah, but we forgot it. So my lo ayah chavesh lo ayah chavesh klal. So the Gemara says, no, from their statement, they were being brutally honest. Because it says lo ayah chavesh means I never was in yeshiva. Meaning, again, it was just, we could say all the criticism we want, but in the very least, the silver lining on all this is that at least they were honest. They actually made an admission they were never in yeshiva. Iniva Amar Rava the Gemara, we are on Yudal Amad Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amad, 2 lines from the bottom. Iniva Amar Rava lo Chavi Shlam Asher Pasku Mimeno Balei Amana. The Gemara says that the Balei Amana ceased, they stopped. So and then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gemara says now we're all confused because we said that the silver lining was at least there was Balei Amana, and now we have another statement of the Gemara, that of Rava, who says that no, there were no more Balei Amana. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk to support this. The pasuk says, "Shenamar shotetu bechutzas Yerushalayim uruuna v'du'u uvikshu bechavosa imtimsu ish im yesh oseh mishpat mevakesh emuna ve'eslachla." If I can find somebody that I have faith in, that I have confidence in, if I can find somebody who's honest, so then I'll forgive the Jewish people. And obviously, the point of the pasuk is, I didn't find anybody. So we have what is now what's called the stira. We have a contradiction. On one hand, the Gemara says that at the Chorban Bayis Rishon there was Balei Amana, and now the Gemara is saying, quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, there was no Balei Amana. Lo kasha. The Gemara says, okay, we can resolve the stira as follows. We're on the very top of Yudal Amud Beis. Abba Divrei Torah, Abba Masa V'Matan. When it comes to Torah, so they were honest. You know? Nope. Not only do I not know Torah, I never knew Torah. I never was in yeshiva. In terms of business dealings, no honesty. Okay, so the Gemara says that's the split that we're going to make, and that's how we're going to resolve the contradiction. Okay, the Gemara just simply spells out the answer. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we are in Yudal Amud Beis, and we're about to start a very long brisa. The brisa is starting right here on the second line down, and it's going to continue about 2/3 down the Amud. And this price, we're going to be seeing a lot of interesting prices today. Today is the day, and you'll see what I mean later on when I say that. But right now, we're going back to the topic of Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava, when we're going to be discussing the people who have an understanding, a contemplation, a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that you and I cannot relate. I'll speak for myself. We have been discussing Maisa Merkava. Remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that you can only transmit Maisa Merkava to one student at a time, and only if that one student is someone who is worthy. To quote the language of the Mishnah, because you're going to hear this language in just a moment, so the Mishnah says, Ela im ken haya chacham umevi midato. He has to be someone who's a chacham and has an understanding. And you don't even have to spell everything out. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with a Brisa Maisa Rav Yochanan Zakashai Rochav al Chamor. Rabbi Yocham and Zakkai was sitting on a donkey by a mahalach bederech, and he was walking. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach mechamer acharav, and walking alongside him was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Amal Rabbi Shanuli Perik Echad ben Meiser Merkava, and so now it's a one-on-one situation, and he has Rabbi Yocham ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yocham ben Zakkai, who lived at the end of Beit Sheni, who was one of the people responsible for saving Yiddishkeit after Chorban Beit Sheni. The Gemara again gives us a lengthy discussion about that. And the Gemara says, now Rav Elazar ben Arach has Rav Yocham ben Zakkai all to himself, and he says, okay, now's the time. Could you teach me Maisa Merkava? Amar lo kach shenisa lechem v'lo b'merkava b'yachid alem kin hayachacha mevi midato. He says, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, you have to be a chacham mevi midato. So first of all, let's make two comments over here. Number one, Rav Yocham ben Zakkai, brutally honest. Okay, which is what you want from your Talmid Chachamim. Okay, in other words, okay, no chanifa, no flattery, just honesty. Okay, and meaning, I can't teach you, you're not worthy. That's point number one. Point number two is that he's quoting a Mishnah. Okay, just from a historical standpoint, you understand, Mishnayos were not written till later. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was living at the Chorban Bayis Sheni, at the destruction of the temple. Rav Yehuda Hanasi is editing the Mishnayos some almost 100 years later. But the Mishnah, he didn't write the Mishnah. That's an important note. Rav Yehuda Hanasi didn't write the Mishnah. He edited the Mishnayos, meaning the Mishnayos were around in one version or another. And you see that very clearly over here when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is quoting a Mishnah, right? So in other words, the Mishnayos were in some earlier form even before Rav Yehuda Hanasi. So Amar Rabbi Tarshina Lama Lefanecha Davar Echah Shlamadatani. So he begs Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rav Elazar ben Aruch says, look, I know one passage of Maaseh Merkava. Okay? It seems like it's a brisa, right? Some form of brisa. So he says, I know one piece of Maaseh Merkava. So can I share it with you? So Amalo Emor. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, okay, I'm ready. Yeah. So Miyad Yared Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Me'al Chamor Minitata V'yashav Ala Evan. Tachas Chazis. Tachas Hazayas. So the Gemara here gives a description now where Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai gets off the donkey and wraps himself up in a towel, sits on a stone under the olive. Okay, and I'm sure, there's no doubt in my mind, that at every point over here is significant in terms of the communication of this Agadata. Okay, but right now I'm just reading and translating. So Amar Rebbe Mimnema Yerata Me'al Chamor. So Rav Elazar ben Aruch says, so why'd you get off the donkey? Amar Esher Echa Ata Darsh Me'maisa Me'kava V'Shchina Imanu. So he says, look, for lack of a better term, pasnish. I mean, obviously. I'm going to get it. You're about to talk about Maaseh Merkava. The Shechina is going to come join us, and the Malach Yesharis is going to escort us. So Otana Vani Akav Al Chamor, and I'm going to be riding on the donkey. You know, just totally inappropriate position for me to be in as we're about to engage in the study of Maaseh Merkava. Miad Pasach Rav Elazar ben Aruch ben Maaseh Merkava v'Darash. So now Rav Elazar ben Aruch is starting to expound on Maaseh Merkava. V'Yarda Eish Min Hashemayim. And a fire comes out from heaven. The sivava kol elan shebesade, surrounding all the trees in the field. Paschu kulam v'amru shira. The trees started to sing song. Mashira amr alos hashem in aretz tanim v'chol tomos. Eitz pri v'chol arazim. Haleluka. They're saying psukim and tehillim, and psukim that, in this context, make perfect sense. Right? The pasuk and tehillim is describing. We say this pasuk every day during pasuk de zimra. So describing how the trees also sing shir to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as Rav Elazar ben Aruch is expounding part of Maaseh Merkava to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, okay, that is the opportunity for now the trees to really start singing. Nene malach mina esh v'amar heinein Maaseh Merkava. And the malach comes out from the fire, and the malach gives an approbation. He gives a haskama. He's right. That's Maaseh Merkava. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai v'nashkal rosha. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai kisses Rav Elazar ben Aruch on his head. V'amar Baruch Hashem l'kisro shanasam ben l'Avram Avinu shiyodeh l'Avinu v'lachkor v'lejrosh b'maisa merkava. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Avram Avinu has a descendant who understands maisa merkava. Yesh na'adarash v'ein na'amikayim. Now some people give lovely drashas, but in terms of their own personal behavior, not so good. Na'amikayim v'ein na'adarash. People behave unbelievably, but in terms of darshaning, they're not good darshanim. But you, Rav Elazar ben Aruch, you got both. You darshan well, and you behave well. So Asherach Avram Avinu Shalazar ben Aruch Yatsa Mechalatzecha. Now he says, Avram Avinu, thank God, you have a descendant like Rav Elazar ben Aruch. Uchish and Amru Adram Lefnei Rav Yehoshua Hayahu Rabbi Yosi Akon. I'm sorry. Okay, let's pause over there. So one point one comment I'm going to make, and that is, it seems like Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't size up Rav Elazar ben Aruch correctly. Seems that way. I'm careful about how I want to say it, but in other words, when given Rav Elazar ben Aruch, clearly he understood Maaseh Merkava to the extent that he understood. Okay, so that part is certainly interesting and certainly needs some sort of clarification. And the Gemara now is going to give a similar description of Rav Yehoshua together with Rav Yosi HaKohen. Okay, Rav Yosi HaKohen, usually we deal with Rav Yosi HaGlili. So it's a different Tana. So Amar Afanu Nidrash B'Maaseh Merkava. So they too took a moment to stop and start expounding on Maaseh Merkava. Pasuk Rav Yehoshua V'Darish. The Oso Ayom Tkufas Tamas. Now, Rav Yehoshua started expounding, and it was Tammuz. It was the middle of the summer. Okay. Hayin iskashu shamayim ba'avim. and the sky got cloudy. Okay. Which, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you're there in the middle of the summer, you realize that's unusual. V'nir kamin keshes ba'anan. It's like a rainbow up in the heavens. V'yom malach esharz mekapsin uval lishmawa kivnei adam shemiskatum v'am liros b'mazmute chasa mekala. And the malach esharz all assemble. No different than if there's a big wedding going out in the street. So everyone's going to look out and see what's going on. So here, all the malach esharz gathered around. Alach Rav Yossi Akon v'sipa drum lifnei Rav Yochanan Zakai v'amar. And Rav Yossi Akon reported this back to Rav Yochanan Zakkai. And Rav Yochanan Zakkai's response, same. The Amar Ashrechem Ashrei Ulatechem Ashrei Eini Shekach Ra'u. Right, Baruch Hashem, your eyes were able to see such a thing. The Afani V'Atem B'Chalamei Mesubim Hainol Har Sinai. You and I in a dream were surrounded by were at Har Sinai. V'Nitna Alein Abaskol Min Hashamayim. And Abaskol came out from heaven. Alulakan Alulakan Traklin Gedolim Atzos Naos. So come up, ascend. So there's going to be a big palace and beautiful spreads. Umotzos lachem atam v'tamidechem v'tamidei tamidechem mizumanim lekashlishis, and you're going to be part of the third group. Okay. And obviously everyone here is interested to know what that third group is comprised of and who they are and what they're doing. I don't know, but I do know the following though. In other words, it's special. Meaning they're a special group, and they're going to have a special place in the Olam Haba. Okay. Ini the Gemara is bothered by the following. Okay, so that was a long brisa. Okay, the brisa took us from line 2 of Yudamud Beis to about 2/3 down in the Amud period. Ad kan divrei habrisa. So we have now in this brisa two people saying over Maisa Merkava. Two Tanaim, I should say. One Tana is Rav Elazar ben Arach, who said in front of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, and the other Tana was Rabbi Yoshua, who said it in front of Rav Yossi HaKohen. Okay, good. The Ein of the Gemara is bothered by a simple point, which is V'atayin of the Gemara quotes another Raisa. This is Otosefta of Chagiga. Rav Yossi Reviuta Omer Yerushal Shar Tzaosain. So there are three hard Tzaos. You're going to see that word a couple of times over the course of today. But basically, our Tzaos is a communication. A communication in Maisa Merkava, right? Rashi over here writes just very quickly, very succinctly, Darshba Maisa Merkava, expounding Maisa Merkava. So three Tanaim who expounded Maisa Merkava. Now, there's more than three, obviously, and Maisa Merkava was communicated for generations, but I guess the idea, well, the Gemara is going to explain why we're identifying specifically these three. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shlosha, Arzah, Sen, Rav Yeshua, Arzah, Dvarim, Lefnei, Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So we have one, Rav Yeshua, expounding in front of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Two, Rabbi Kiva Artzal Lefnei Rav Yoshua. Rabbi Kiva expounded in front of Rav Yoshua. And finally, three, Chanina ben Chachinai Artzal Lefnei Rabbi Kiva. And Chanina ben Chachinai expounded in front of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so we have three layers, levels, mesoras of those who expounded. The period, Ad Kan Divrei HaTosefta, that's the end of the Tosefta. And the problem's pretty obvious, and that is, where's Rav Elazar ben Arach? No mention of Rav Elazar ben Arach, v'ilu Rav Elazar ben Arach lo kachashiv. So the Gemara is bothered by that very simple question. The artsei v'artsu kamei kachashiv. The artsei v'la artsu kamei lo kachashiv. So the Gemara over here says that these three that we're pointing out to are part of a chain where they expounded to somebody and then somebody expounded in front of them. So they were part of a Mesorah. Rav Elazar ben Arach was not part of a Mesorah of Maisa Merkava, and that's why he was not mentioned in this Tosefta.
Early generation?
I mean, he was together with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai.
Right. Wasn't that?
Yeah, but again,
before Rabbi Yeshua?
He knew Maisa Merkava, expounder of Maisa Merkava, correct. But there was no chain. There was no transmission. So the Gemara is bothered by, so Lokash Chashav. The Gemara is still, one more question. V'achananya ben Chachinai de lo artsu kamei. So the Gemara says, okay, but look at the last one on the list. It's Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinai, who he expounded in front of Rabbi Kiva. No one expounded in front of him. So the Gemara, v'kachashiv, and he's still on the list. So can Rav Elazar ben Arach now qualify as being part of this list? So the Gemara says, d'artzemiya kamei manda artse. So the Gemara says, no, but yes, but no. You're right. The last one on the list had no one expounded in front of him, but at least he expounded in front of somebody who expounded in front of somebody else. In other words, he was part of a Mesorah. Rav Elazar ben Aruch was of no such, he wasn't part of this particular Masorah. So that's why he wasn't included in the list. Okay, Adkan. Okay, I'll get to pause. I'll get to breathe for just a moment. Okay, my breath is now officially over, and we are continuing. We are now going to go into Pardes. Okay, the word Pardes, by the way, a couple things I get to realize over the course of time. Right, we have an English word called paradise. It just dawned on me. Paradise, Pardes, recently I came to realize, now I get it. Right, it's the same word, basically, with the same basic connotation. Basic. You know what I just realized recently? Totally off the topic. But the word Oneg Shabbos, right? Enjoy, right? You figured it out, right? Good. So and it just hit me, like, oh, that's right. That's the same. Right, the gimel the just sound, you know. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Good. Now that I got that off my chest, let's go. Okay, we're going to talk about those four who went into Pardes. Okay, these Gemaras coming up over here are very famous. My concern is I will not be able to do justice to this Gemara. I'm not concerned. I know I won't. So that's good. So one less thing to worry about. But what we're going to attempt to do is get some sort of understanding of, in the context, it's clear. The Gemara doesn't say this. But just in the context of our Gemara, as you see the daf flowing, you see that obviously what they're engaged is the Maaseh Merkava. It's obvious. So the... And in the engagement of Maaseh Merkava, so they go into a meditative state, and it's powerful, obviously. And who comes out unscathed? So of the four, only one is going to come out unscathed. So it talks about how dangerous it is to go into such a state and to engage in such activity. Let's go. Arba nechnasu b'tana rabbanu. The Gemara, it's a brisa, and this brisa also is going to be a little bit lengthy, not as lengthy as the previous one. This one starts here and it goes all the way to the top of Tezvav Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbana Arba Nechtusu B'Pardes. Four people entered into Pardes. The Eluhain, and they are. Now, before we identify the four, two things over here. Number one, Rashi. Rashi says, how did they do it? What method did they use to go in? So Rashi says, Alul Rakia Al Yedei Shem. The Yushem Hashem to go Alul Rakia, to go up to the heavens. Tosos here points out, okay, and even without Tosus, it's kind of intuitive, but Tosus here points out, they didn't really go up. Right? Tosus says, Nichlus Lepardes, Kagona Yide Shem, Velo Alula Mala Mamish. Right? We're not talking about a physical elevation. Elayanir Lehem Kamosha Alu, Vechem Perish Baruch. Okay, in other words, this is all mind. This is all, right, a meditative state. So they're not really going up, but they're now going into their mind. Arba Nichlus Lepardes, Elohim Benazi Ben Zama, Acher. Rabbi Akiva. So the four are Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Achim, Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai, just remind one another. Ben Azai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Eventually, remember the Gemara Yerushalmi? The only Yerushalmi we've done together, right? Is that he starts off as a student of Rabbi Akiva, he ends up becoming a colleague, a chaver of Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai's love for Torah was so strong, the Gemara in Sota tells us that he never got married, right? Because he was married. Right, he loved Torah too much that he just simply never got married. So, right, he was just to the best of our understanding, just somebody who was such a spiritual entity. So, Ben Azai was one of the four. So the four are Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. Now, the most interesting one, I mean, not the most, but the one that obviously is the Gemara conceals in anonymity. Is Acher. Okay, Acher is Elisha ben Avuya. Okay, and we're going to see later on, right, what happens to him and why he, instead of called Elisha ben Avuya, which was his name, he's only from this point forward going to be referred to as Acher. In fact, we're not going to see him actually named except for one time. So the Gemara says, so these four went to Pardes. Amalam Rabbi Akiva, Kishatem Magim, Eitzel, Avnei Shayish. So Rabbi Akiva says to them, look, when you get to the Avnei Shayish, when you get to the marble, Tahor, the pure marble, Al Tomer Mayim Mayim. So don't confuse it with water. It's not. Okay. Are we supposed to understand this? Okay. Mishum Shenemar, Dover Shkarim Lo Yikon LeNeged Einai. You can't lie when you're up there. So don't give any falsehood whatsoever. It's not water, it's Shayish. Ben Azai hates its amaze. Ben Azai, he looked. And the Pasuk says, Nechumash, Lo Yichol Adam Leros V'chai. Okay, I probably did a terrible job according to the pasuk, but you understand. In other words, certain things you can't see and then come back to this world. So Benazir looked and that was it. That's the end of his physical life. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, from Halal. It's difficult for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to kill his chassidim. And so it wasn't easy, but again, it's just simply the natural repercussions of seeing what Ben Azai saw. Ben Zama hates its v'nifka. So Ben Azai saw, and he became lame for the rest of his life. Now, why isn't that he didn't result in the same fate of Ben Azai? Why wasn't he separated from his body like Ben Azai was? Okay, again, there's only a limited amount of all this that I can really communicate. You're going to end up throwing it up. Meaning, this kind of learning, the Maisim Merkavim, this is what they were engaged in. It's honey and sweet, and it's unbelievable, but it's not the basics. And you eat too much of it, and you're going to end up throwing it up. And the Gemara, it sounds a little bit like a tochacha, a rebuke for engaging this kind of activity. Acher kitzes benetios. The Gemara describes Acher as just simply chopping down the orchard. Obviously, this is an allegory, meaning they're going to Pardes and he's chopping the trees down. Right? We're not describing anything physical over here. It just simply means that he made a mess out of everything. And to be continued in terms of what happens. And Rabbi Akiva yatsa b'shalom, and Rabbi Akiva exits in peace. Okay, so one out of four. One out of four successfully go in and come back out. Shalos ben zoma malos aristi kavo. So they ask Ben Zoma. Now this continuation of the Braisa doesn't seem to be connected. Obviously, if the Braisa is putting this in here, it is connected. So I don't know what the connection is, but they ask Ben Zoma the following question. Can you spade? Right, that's the right term? Right, can you neuter? Okay, that's a better term. Thank you. Can you neuter a dog? So Amar Lahem, Va'artzechem lo sasu. So he says, no, you can't. You can't do it at all. Okay, so anyone ready to go into veterinarian profession? So just know that it has halachic pitfalls. And one of them is that neutering is a prohibition. Okay. Shalua ben Zama Basula Shibra Ma'ula Kohen Gadol. So let's say you have a woman who is a virgin and she's pregnant, and is she permitted to a Kohen Gadol? Okay, now that's a strange question, and right. In other words, well, let's go over the basics of this question. We know that Kohen Gadol has to marry a Bistula. The Torah says, so Rak, that's not the possible, but Bistula Yikach. Okay, the Kohen has to marry a Bistula. So that means that she cannot have been with a man. Now here the conundrum is that, okay, but this particular Bistula is pregnant. Okay, so that's odd, that's strange. So how can she be a Bistula and she be pregnant? So there are a couple of possibilities which the Gemara now entertains. So the Gemara says, look, Shmuel was able to do the following, Yachal Ani Livo Kama Be'ilos Below Dam. And he states, quite honestly, that he himself engaged in a Be'ila, he was able to have relations with a woman, and go in a particular angle so as not to break the Dam Besulam. So, but that means that she's no longer a Besula. She was with a man. So, now Shmuel, historically, Shmuel, of course, lives later than Ben Zoma, but the statement in the Gemara always comes in the name of Shmuel, so here the Gemara is just quoting it as a statement by Shmuel, but obviously the point of the Gemara is that maybe that's what happened, maybe that's the explanation of how she got pregnant. If that's the explanation, so then she's no longer a Besula. So, Odilma, de Shmuel, lo shricha. So, or maybe Shmuel's maneuver, so to say, is not that common. So Amalu, de Shmuel lo shrich, v'cheshin shem mam bati ibra. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'm going to go with the second side of your question, which is that no, if she was actually with a man, so then there would be a rupturing of the Dam Besulam. That's the assumption. Shmuel's maneuver is a unique maneuver to that of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, and in terms of her pregnancy, the explanation is that she was in a bathtub and there was Zera in the bathtub and she became impregnated by the Zera. The Gemara says, "V'amar Shmuel lo kol shich v'zera yorek echetz." Sorry, I skipped a line. Kol shich v'zera sheina yorek echetz eino mazras. So the Gemara says, in terms of impregnating a woman, so it has to be where it has to be. It has to come out with force into the woman. And over here, she's just sitting in the bathroom, and the zera in the bathtub. So that's not with force. So the Gemara's answer is, so the Gemara says that maybe it was discharged into the bathtub with force then, and again, I don't fully...
Ben Sira.
Right, correct. The Gemara says that elsewhere. Okay, anyway, the two questions that were asked to Ben Zalman. These two questions obviously need to be connected to the entire story of Pardes, otherwise the Brisa wouldn't be putting those two in. I, at this point in my life, don't have an explanation of why these two questions were asked to Ben Zalman after the incident of Pardes. Okay, I'll ponder more about it, and hopefully I'll get some sort of sense of what just happened there. Tana Rabbanan, we are on the very top of Tezvav Amud Aleph. We're now going to start another brisa. Maisa Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya Shai Omen Agav Ma'ala Bahar Abayis. Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya was standing on the top step of Har Abayis. V'ru Ben Zoma V'lo Amon Milfanav. And he sees Ben Zoma, and Ben Zoma doesn't stand up for him. Amar Lo Me'ayin L'ayin Ben Zoma. Now, Ben Zoma should have stood up for him, and he didn't. So, and it's not just whatever, cover the Rav. It's important, and it's a mitzvah in the Torah. So he looks at Ben Zoma and he says, "Where are you?" I meaning not physically, but like in other words, in my field of work, you see that every now and then, right? Somebody's just off in their own world. So Amar Lo Sof Ha'isi Bein Mayim Al Yonam LaMayim HaTachtonim. So Ben Zoma says, "Well, you know what I was contemplating? The distance between the upper waters and the lower waters. Vein Bein Zelas Zelas Shoshetz Both. And you know the distance is only 3 inches, right? Approximately." So Bavad. Shenemer Virchlochim Rechefes Al Panei Amayim Ki Yonishim Rechefes Al Baneha Ve'eino Nogas. You know, the Ruach Elokim is hovering over the water. It's like a dove that hovers over her children. It's not touching her children. So Amalem, right? In essence, what is Ben Zoma talking about right now? So Amalem Rav Yeshua Talmid of Rav Yeshua turns to the students and he says, Adayin Ben Zoma Mibachos. Ben Zoma's not here yet. He's still out to lunch. Meaning, and basically, this is a follow-up, obviously, to the Pardes incident, meaning Ben Zoma never really recovered after the Pardes incident. And the Gemara over here comments, The Gemara says, first of all, his whole thought process seems to be totally out of whack. Look, he quoted a pasuk describing the distance between the upper waters and the lower waters. He's quoting a pasuk from day one. Day one, there wasn't yet separation. Havdal b'yom shenihu. Separation comes on day two. Da'ava dechsiv ayum avdal b'mayim lamayim. So the point of separation comes on day two. So how can you quote a pasuk from day one describing the separation when separation hasn't even occurred yet? Okay, so the Gemara says, so Ben Zoma seems to be right now out to lunch. Vekama. And you know what happens when the Gemara hits a topic and the Gemara doesn't want to let it go. So the Gemara says, so new, how much separation are we talking about? Amar Vachar Bayakov Kimlo Nima. A hair's space of separation. I don't understand the Gemara at this point in time. I'm making a full admission. Meaning if Ben Zoma's 3 inches are considered to be absurd, so now the Gemara is saying Kimlo Nima. Okay, I'm admitting, I don't understand. So V'Rabban Amri, Kiguda de Gamla, the distance between like the planks of a bridge. Okay, I'm not understanding. I don't know what we're describing over here, the distance between the upper waters and the lower waters. We're talking about before separation, after separation. Okay, I'm not following. Continuing in the Gemara, Mazucha Vitimer Avasi Amar Kitre Glima de Priste Adade. It's like two cloaks that are spread out one another. Ramala Kitre Kasi Deschife Adade. Or another way to describe this is the distance between them is the distance between two cups. Okay. To what?
Stacked.
Oh, two cups stacked one on top of another. Okay.
One inside each other.
Oh, okay, fine. Again. I get it, but I don't get it. Acher kitzitz benetios. Okay, we go back to Acher, and the Gemara now is going to give a bit of a description of Acher. So all we have in the Braisa regarding Acher and his visit to Pardes is that he was cutting down the trees. And the Gemara now is going to explain a little bit more of what he saw and what happened. Don't let your mouth cause you to sin. So while in parties he saw a malach. The malach's name was Mitatron. He was permitted to sit down. Now apparently the rules of the game are is that when you're up in Shemayim or you're in this meditative state, no one has permission to sit. And he was given permission to sit, but for a good reason though, so that he can sit and concentrate, again, to the best of our understanding, and write zichuyos and write merits for the Jewish people. So Acher is looking around and he's saying, I don't understand. I have a tradition that in Shemayim, there you're not allowed to sit. There's no tachrus. Right. They're right. No one's competing with one another. Lo oreif. No one has a back of a head. Okay. They right again. What,
there's no front of behind.
Right. They're right. Correct. In other words, right. No direction. Okay. The lo ifui, and no one's tired. Okay. All these things are I know as a tradition are true up in Shemayim. But meanwhile, I'm looking at a malach, and this malach is sitting down. What's going on? So Hashem Echad Shasham Bez Rishuyo Zain. So, and he's thinking now, oh no. You know, he comes to this conclusion that there are two deities. Okay. So, Avkula Mitzachon Machiyu Shisim Pulsi Denura. So the Gemara says Mitzachon got punished. And he was lashed 60 times with a fire whip. And Tosus over here points out that this isn't a punishment. This is just simply demonstrative. It was just to show Acher that he's not in control. So how come when you saw him, you didn't stand up? So I give you permission to tear up the zechuyos of Acher. Everyone has a chance of doing tshuva except for Acher. So Acher now comes to the conclusion that, look, I lost my chelik in Olam Haba and I don't have a chance of doing tshuva. That's it. I'm going to enjoy this world. Nafak Acher l'tabras ra. And he joins a bad crowd. Nafak Ashka chzona tava amr lei v'lav elisha b'nevuyat. And he sees a zona. He solicits her. And she says, this is strange. You're Elisha b'nevuya. The only time in this entire discussion where he's referenced by name. Akar pugla mimishra b'shabas. So he says, so what does he do to show her that he's somebody else? He takes a radish and he pulls it out of the ground on Shabbos, a malacha de araisa, an isra de araisa, and the yavlan, he hands it to her, amra acher hu. And he says, oh no, you know what? She says, you're right, you must be somebody else. And now we know the rest of the story. Now we know how he got the nickname of Acher. Stop over here, tomorrow we pick it up, where now he's going to be having conversations with his student, Rabbi Meir.